Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As training camp begins for the NFL, for all 32 teams, if you root for a team, I'm giving you an opportunity to steal one player across the other 31 teams. Only one player, not one from each team, but just one player, non-quarterback. One non-quarterback you can pluck from another team around the league. Who would it be and why? Getting a lot of good answers tonight, both on Twitter at Sean T. Pendergast and on the phones as well. So if you want to line up and give me yours in the final segment, 855-212-4CBS. We've talked a little bit about the Dallas Cowboys tonight. They have an interesting training camp going on. I feel like Cowboys training camp is always interesting because it's the Cowboys. Skylar Dixon is with the Associated Press. He is the Dallas Cowboys beat writer and joins me on CBS Sports Radio right now. Skylar, it's great to have you on the program. Who would you take for the Dallas Cowboys if you could steal one player from around the league?
Wow, it's a good question. I mean, I think it's unquestionably Zeke, but in the context right now, yikes, that kind of gets blown up, doesn't it?
But if you could steal one on behalf of the Cowboys, you could steal somebody from the other 31 teams, who would it be?
Oh, yeah. I think either Khalil Mack or Aaron Donald. Maybe yeah. Khalil Mack.
They're both getting a lot of love tonight, as you can probably imagine. Well, I'm glad you mentioned Ezekiel Elliott, Skyler, because that's a good place to start off here. He is not in training camp with the Cowboys. He was not on the flight out to California. I'm sure you guys, as you're covering training camp, are all talking about this. What's the handicapping situation right now as to if and when Ezekiel Elliott's going to show up at training camp?
Yeah, I think we're having a hard time getting a handle on it. Zeke's camp is very quiet. It does seem to be kind of a calculated thing right now. And from my point of view, I've been thinking about the why. I'm trying to put myself in their place and the strategy that they're talking on this. And it feels like to me that this is really the year, even though there are 2 years left on the deal, and I guess the optics on that aren't great. From a strategic point of view, this feels like the year to do it, because this is sort of the last year where he's a pretty significantly underpaid guy when you consider the fact that he's won two rushing titles in his 3 years and he's only due to make about $3.9 million. That jumps up to around $9 million in the last year of the contract next year, so it's a little bit of a different scenario. It feels like from a timing point of view that maybe now is the best time, and maybe the leverage is the best right now, because clearly this team has Super Bowl aspirations. They feel like they're on track. I think everybody would agree that Super Bowl track would be badly derailed without Ezekiel Elliott. So I guess from their point of view, the timing is good as far as all of that is concerned.
Yeah, I guess you touched on that. You know, this is a negative thing, him not being there. And a Cowboys offense without Ezekiel Elliott is obviously a worse offense than having Ezekiel Elliott. How much worse, in your mind, is it without Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit hard to judge with the Amari Cooper trade from last year, because that did help the offense significantly. It helped Ezekiel Elliott significantly, to be honest. I think it opened up running lanes for him. But you go back to the previous year, and yes, they did win the last three without him in that six-game suspension. But in the first three, you know, Dak looked completely out of sorts. He faced all kinds of pressure. The offense did not look good, and you know, from a Cowboy point of view, I would just be afraid that all those things would come back up. You know, without Elliott, the pressure on Dak is probably a little bit more of an issue. The freedom to roam the secondary is probably not quite what it was for Amari Cooper when Elliott was in there. So I just feel like the trickle down would be significant, and it's possible that they maybe found somebody in Tony Pollard, a rookie he's not really even number one on the depth chart right now, but that's the name that comes up to me. If you're looking for somebody who's going to at least offer some of those things that are those threat, and the Cowboys are high on that guy. But, you know, yikes. Without Elliott, who knows how much more difficult it gets for Dak and the rest of the crew to try to move the ball.
Skylar Dixon covers the Cowboys for the Associated Press, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Dak's got a contract that they need to get done. That's going to be the big ticket one. But obviously, Elliott, you mentioned Cooper, Jalen Smith, Byron Jones, Lael Collins. I guess in some ways this is the curse of being really good at drafting the last few years, particularly in 2016. But what's your sense, Skylar, on how they are prioritizing guys or what their plan is to kind of put this puzzle together financially? Are there some pieces that could get dealt or lost in the wash somewhere along the way here?
Yeah, I think there definitely will be at least a couple of those. I do think, you know, these three offensive stars are where it starts. Logic says that Dak is first, and then you go from there. And maybe that's where Zeke's camp is coming from. Maybe they're like, well, wait a minute. Everybody wants to say Dak is first, but who's the most important part of this offense? That may be what they're trying to say. The Cooper thing, I think that probably gets done fairly easily at some point in there. I think that's another thing where it's really hard to tell. You know, how are these things going to unfold in what order? I would still say Dak's first, but I wouldn't be surprised if something else did come up first. Now, I think you've got kind of that next tier. The people I put at the top of that list are Jalen Smith and even Leighton Vander Esch, even though he's he's a couple of more years down the road. But those two pieces, it would seem to me, if they track the way they did last year and continue to improve this year, those two guys are really the ones you're going to look at on that defense and say, okay, there's the core, there's kind of the heart and soul of that defense, along with DeMarcus Lawrence, the contract that they did get done. So I think it's these three offensive guys. And then I think, you know, maybe a Byron Jones could be one that's on the outside looking in when all is said and done, even though he has improved substantially and Chris Richard really likes him a lot. I guess I'd maybe put him at the top of the list of guys they might have to let go.
We know that the draft is kind of a crapshoot, but the Cowboys they've been better at it the last few years than they had been the previous years. What's changed? Has there been anything that's changed that they've shared with the media there in terms of the process, or are they just doing a better job evaluating, maybe being a little bit luckier? What are your thoughts on that?
I think they would tell you they've kind of stuck to their board and stuck to their plan. You go all the way back to the year they drafted Travis Frederick. They traded down to get him. They got a lot of criticism for that, and I think there was some sort of talk that Frederick was nothing better than a third rounder. To me, the current stretch of drafting kind of started there. They were patient. They figured they could get him late in the first round. They were right. They got him. And then they stuck with their spot from there. They pretty much have stuck with their spot since then. Zach Martin, you know, I think Elliott was a really good pick. There's debate over that versus Jalen Ramsey or whatever, but I really think the Cowboys did the right thing there because they saw a dynamic running back, and I think they've gotten that. So I think that's the biggest thing is, if Stephen Jones, Jerry's son, the executive vice president of personnel, would tell you that, you know, he's kind of big on make a plan and stick with it. Jerry tends to be, you know, a little bit more reactive or impulsive. That's kind of his thing. And there were the famous stories from the year that they drafted Zach Martin with Johnny Manziel still on the board. That worked out well for the Cowboys, and that's kind of a Stephen Jones contribution there as well. So, you know, I think it's sticking to the plan, and I think, you know, there were questions last year when they traded this year's first round pick to get Amari Cooper, but I felt like they had sort of earned the sort of cachet to make that deal because they'd had so much success in the first round. They felt like they were making another first round pick by getting Cooper because he was a younger guy, and they surrendered that pick, but they had the flexibility to do that. They needed it. You know, the season was about to get away from them. Their offense wasn't very good, and they sort of made a move to kind of salvage the season, and it worked out. And that's, to me, that's in part because they'd been drafting well the previous 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, the results post that trade last year are undeniable. They were a better team after that deal. Skylar Dixon, Associated Press, covers the Dallas Cowboys. Last one before I let you go. What's it like having Jason Witten back in training camp this year?
Yeah, I think it's good for them. I think, you know, there's a lot of questions about does he still have it and those kinds of things. I think he does. I think he's going to be fine. I think people forget that he wasn't really a gigantic numbers machine when even in his prime. You know, he did set the NFL record for catches, but he's never gone for crazy numbers of yards or crazy numbers of touchdowns throughout his career. So, you know, modest numbers from that standpoint will be fine for this offense. And the other thing is they didn't replace him. You know, they went young, and those guys were okay, but they probably missed the two-way ability of Witten, particularly the blocking part of it. The third down sort of security blanket thing that Dak didn't have. The Cowboys were awful in the red zone last year, and maybe a little bit of that was Witten being gone. So I don't think it does anything but help. The consensus is clear that it's, you know, picked up where he left off. He looks fine to me. You know, physically he looks about the same, and it hasn't been that long. He's not the oldest guy in the world. You know, he's 37, so it's not like he's ancient. So I think it's good for them. I think he's glad to be back. He seems relaxed and enjoying it, and I think he'll be a contributor for that offense.
Yeah, sometimes a year's hiatus and not getting hit works out pretty well for guys. We'll see how it works out for Jason Witten. Skylar Dixon, Associated Press, covers the Dallas Cowboys. Skylar, really appreciate the time on a Sunday evening. Enjoy the rest of training camp, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you very much.
Sounds good, sure.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.